Spiritual growth is the decreasing frequency of sin. You see, the more you exercise your spiritual muscle, the more you yield to the Spirit of God, the more the Spirit of God controls your life, the less sin is there. It's never the absence of sin, it's the decreasing frequency of it.
Welcome to Grace to You with John MacArthur. I'm your host, Phil Johnson. Last January, a survey came out estimating that Americans spend $110,000 on fitness in their lifetime. That's more than 4 years of tuition at most colleges. It's clear that Americans care about outer beauty and strength. Well, today, John will show you how to build up something far more important than your physical health. He's going to show you how to strengthen what the Apostle Paul calls the inner man. It's part of John's study titled, Tapping into God's Power. And now, here's John.
You know, I've been thinking to myself a lot lately about this craze that we have in America of exercise. And I've been realizing that the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. Not nothing, but little. And there are some people who are really super preoccupied with that little. They run, they diet. I mean, they wouldn't miss their protein drink. They are very outer man conscious. And if there was some way we could get them to spend half as much time on the inner man, we could revolutionize their lives. Christians should be preoccupied with the inner man. The inner man is the eternal part, the spirit, the soul, the real you. Let me show you the contrast of the two by having you notice 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. And here Paul contrasts both. He's talking here about a situation of persecution which he was caught in, as was common. He had been perplexed, and he had been distressed, and he had been persecuted, and he had been cast down, and he had been bearing in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus. There was a lot to suffer in his ministry. Death was working in him, he said. But he says in 16, for which cause we faint not. In other words, even though we've got a lot of trouble on the outside, a lot of hassle on the outside, a lot of persecution and so forth, we don't faint. Though our outer man perishes, watch this, yet the inner man is renewed, or better, refreshed day by day. Now you see, Paul was never preoccupied with the outer man. He says, God delivers fresh strength to that inner man every day. That, beloved, is the process of growth in the spiritual life. Your inner man being strengthened. Your inner man being revitalized and renewed every day. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul talks about the fact that the Lord came to him in a time of distress and strengthened him, giving him victory over the lions that would have devoured him. Paul was very conscious of strengthening the inner man. Now watch this. The outer man decays, the inner man accelerates and ascends. Keep that in mind. As a Christian, as you get older, your outer man declines. You can't avoid it. It just happens. The older you get, the further it declines. The outer man diminishes, declines, and decays while the inner man ascends, which means the older you get in Christ, the older you get as you're renewed by the Spirit, the further away you come from the outer man, the less concerned you are about it. But see, the Lord has a way of allowing us, when we're saved at this point, to then begin to grow away from those things as they descend and we ascend. So Paul says, the outer man, I admit, it's perishing all the time. It's declining. But in proportion to the decline of the outer man is the renewal of the inner man, so that I ascend in the inner man to Christ and to God. And the more I come to Christ, and the closer I come to God, and the more I am strengthened in the inner man, the less I'm concerned about the declining of the outer man. Now, if you're getting old and you're concerned about it, and you're getting old and you're afraid of dying, and you're getting old and it bothers you a whole lot, then I would venture to say that your inner man is not ascending in proportion to the declining of your outer man. God has a way of just making that all right. So, what are we seeing then? Paul says our outer man may be perishing. It's a process he's talking about here. But our inner man is revitalized, increasing, richer, deeper, stronger every day. Now, that's what he's after. And let me say this to you, friends. If this is true of Paul, you say, that his inner man was renewed and revitalized and refreshed every day, why isn't it true of me? Because, simple thing, the renewal of the inner man is dependent upon the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's work is dependent upon your yieldedness. The New Testament says, quench not the Spirit, right? The New Testament says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed. Now, if you grieve the Spirit and you quench the Spirit, you cut off the resource, you cut off the flow of refreshment, then your inner man is not revitalized every day, and you're not going to experience what Paul experienced. The key thing then, go back to Ephesians. The key thing here is to start with that you be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. In other words, that you allow the Spirit of God to do that revitalizing, refreshing, renewing ministry day after day. Now, the inner man's got to be strong, or you can't fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. The inner man's got to be strong, or you can't overcome. The Apostle Paul had that battle, didn't he, in Romans 7. The seventh chapter of Romans, Paul is saying, in my inner man, I delight in the law of God. Romans 7:22, I delight in the law of God in my inner man. You know, it wants what is right. It wants what is right. But he says, the things that I want to do, I what? I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. I have a weak inner man. It has the right desires, but I have this outer flesh that messes it up. And you see, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But he doesn't know the answer yet. He just says, I know it's in Christ somewhere, but I just don't know where it is. And then you go into chapter 8, and all of a sudden he discovers the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works. And he says, the law of righteousness is fulfilled in me through the walk in the Spirit. Chapter 7, he had a weak inner man. Chapter 8, he discovered the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden the Spirit strengthened his inner man. Now listen, beloved, you cannot experience inner strength, and the Greek there is to be powered with power, to be dynamited with dynamite, to be strong with strength, to be mighty with might. That's the idea. You'll never know that on your own. You'll never be able to stand firm and solid and unmovable. You'll never know maturity until you allow the Spirit of God to do His renewing work, until you allow God's Spirit to strengthen you. That's what He wants to do. You say, well, is He there to do that? Oh, yeah. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. Romans 8:9 says every Christian possesses the Spirit. The power is there. The Spirit's there. It's a question of appropriation. You say, well, what's the key? Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a simple truth. Walk in the Spirit. The New Testament word walk is the word of daily conduct. Conduct your daily life in the power of the Spirit. Conduct your daily life yielding to the Spirit. Conduct your daily life with a consciousness of the presence of the Spirit of God. That's basic. We must be Spirit-controlled, Spirit-filled, Spirit-conscious. And that means walking in the Spirit. You can't just remember the Holy Spirit every so often. Walk in the Spirit. The walk is the picture of a step at a time, every step taken in the energy and the power and yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. Over in 5:18 of Ephesians, look what it says. And be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Greek says be being kept filled. Let it be a constant thing. Constantly filled up with the Spirit. Constantly filled up with the energy and the power of the Spirit of God. Now, it's interesting to note that you will never be able to do that unless the Spirit of God is in your conscious mind. In other words, you can't... Let me reduce it this way. Living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, being strengthened by the Spirit means that you've got to be conscious of the Spirit. You get up in the morning and it's a question of decisions, right? All of life is decisions. You decide whether you're going to get out of bed or not. You decide what you're going to eat and what you're not going to eat. Decision, 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 decision. The simplicity of walking in the Spirit is simply yielding each one to the Holy Spirit. yield each decision to the Holy Spirit. You say, well, in order to do that, you'd have to be thinking about the Holy Spirit every time a decision came. That's right. Exactly right. You say, well, how do you do that? It's very simple. Very simple. You fill your mind with the Word of God. You see, in Ephesians 5:18, it says, be filled with the Spirit. A parallel passage, Colossians 3:16, says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's the same thing. You allow the Word of God to saturate you. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. As I hide the Word in my heart, as it saturates me, it begins to control my thinking processes. And as it controls my thinking processes, then the Spirit of God brings it to mind instantly at the point of each decision. And then when I yield to that, one step at a time, I strengthen my spiritual muscle. Every time I yield to the Holy Spirit, I exercise my spiritual muscle and I get a little bit stronger in the inner man. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. But I've got to yield to Him. I've got to yield to His Spirit. I can't do it apart from Him. Paul is praying that our inner man would grow strong as we yield to the Spirit. You'll never do that until you're in the Word of God. We all receive the Spirit. You know, if you took, just figure this. Someday, tomorrow will be a good day, or maybe today. Today is probably better because you forget tomorrow. Add up on a little piece of paper the time you spent on your outer man. Okay, how much time did it take you to get your outer man out of bed and dressed and fixed up? And how long did it take you to feed your outer man? Breakfast took 20 minutes, lunch took this, dinner took this, and a few snacks in between. How long did it take you to jog your inner man, your outer man rather? And you know, whatever you did for your outer man, how much time did you spend on your outer man? Figure that out. Just do this. Just spend an equal amount of time on your inner man. It'll revolutionize your entire life. You say, but how do you do that? Just spend the equal amount of time studying the Word of God and intermittently talking to God about what He says in His Word. You will literally be revolutionized. When you feed the inner man with the Word of God and you feed that in, what happens is the inner man has truth in its frontal lobe, if you will, and when decisions come, the first thought is the Word of God, and the Spirit has a handle to turn you into God's will. And once you've exercised your will toward the Holy Spirit, you've strengthened your spiritual muscle, and that's how you grow. And people think, well, I don't know if I could ever get to that level. I see, I'm just sort of a class two Christian. You know, and you think of a missionary or you think of a pastor or somebody who's sort of a spaced out, strange, They're up there on some spiritual level and, oh, it would be wonderful, but it's so beyond us. No, the only difference between you and me is I'm here and you're there. That's the only difference. I'm talking and you're listening. That's the only difference. Same world, same flesh, same devil bugs me. I have the same infirmities. I have the same spiritual processes to go through to get growth that you do. It just so happens that somewhere along the line, God was gracious enough to give me a good swift kick to begin to apply some of these things so I could grow to the place where God could use some things. That's the only difference. I don't have some kind of mystical contact with God. I'm not up there on another level halfway between you and heaven. No, I'm just one of the people. But I'll give you an illustration. I used to worry a lot because in my heart, I always felt I wanted to go in the ministry, but I hated the study. And I really did. In fact, I never studied all through school. I was very bad when I was little about that. My dad used to break coat hangers on me to try to get me to change. But the older I got, the less the coat hangers hurt. So, you know, but anyway, by the time I got to high school, you know, I knew that I was smart enough to just get by. So in high school, I would just get by. Just do whatever I had to do to stay eligible so I could play ball. That was everything, you know. And then I got to college and did the same thing. College was great. You could do a lot of nice things, have a lot of fun, and as long as you stayed eligible and okay, fine, and I just barely got by. Well, I had gone through an automobile accident, which God had called me into the ministry, and I began to worry about it. And MacArthur, you're a real slough off. You don't put out any extra. Whatever has to be done, you just do the basic minimum thing. You're never going to make it. And somewhere along the line, I decided, well, I better change. And I began to change when I got to seminary. And I began to realize that I better start to learn how to study. And I used to hate it. I mean, literally hate to study. I could hardly force myself to do it. But I began to walk in the Spirit. And as I began to walk in the Spirit and study the Word of God in my life, the Spirit of God had handles, and then He began to use those handles to lead me. And one step at a time, I would discipline myself and exercise a little spiritual muscle, and I'd get a little stronger, and a little stronger, and a little stronger, and a little stronger. And you know, day by day through the years, God has been exercising my will toward Him by the power of His Holy Spirit. And now, you know something? I don't have any trouble with that at all. I don't have to worry about that. In fact, you can't, once I get going at it, you can't drag me away from it. You may come in and tell me the most wonderful truth in the whole world and tell me the most sad story in all the world, and you'll probably hear a few grunts and I'll never lift my head up. Because through simply exercising my will to be obedient to the Spirit of God through the years, God has strengthened my inner man to the place now where the easiest thing for me to do is to yield to the Spirit of God in the area of ministry to which He's called me. And it isn't mystical, and it doesn't happen overnight. It's the process of spiritual exercise. Somewhere, as a Christian, you begin. And you begin to say yes to the Spirit of God. The Word of God is in you. The truth is there so that you can respond to it. The Spirit of God gives you the impulse to what is right to do. You do what is right. You strengthen your spiritual muscle. The next time it's again strengthened, and next time more, more, more. Finally, it becomes the flow of life. You're beginning to operate on another plane. You begin to respond most automatically. And you know what happens? I've always defined spiritual growth as this. Spiritual growth is the decreasing frequency of sin. You see, the more you exercise your spiritual muscle, the more you yield to the Spirit of God, the more the Spirit of God controls your life, the less sin is there. It's never the absence of sin, it's the decreasing frequency of it. And by the way, the more you grow and the more it decreases, the more heinous it is when it does show up. That's what it means to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And you can start right where you are. You can start by absorbing the Word of God, by saying yes to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're tempted to be angry, you're tempted to be lustful, you're tempted to be thoughtless, you're tempted to be prayerless, you're tempted for whatever it is. Instead of saying yes to the temptation, say yes to what you know is right, and you've exercised your spiritual muscle, you're a little stronger. And that's the process that Paul is after. And then someday you grow up and be like Paul. You say, oh no, I could, same God, same Holy Spirit, same resource, same power. Maybe it's a different will, and you need to exercise your will as he did. The Apostle Paul got to the place where it didn't matter what happened to the outer man. He grew so far away from that perishing outer man because the ascendancy of his inner man was going so vertical. He was so far away from it, he could have cared less, right? Why, when they told him, you go to Jerusalem in Acts 20 and you're going to get it, Paul, he said, none of these things move me because I don't count my, if I can paraphrase, outer man worth anything anyway. For to me to live is Christ and to die is simply gain. Get rid of this outer man thing. This thing's just a problem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul told us a little about his ministry. He says, five times I received 39 stripes. Three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, my own countrymen, Gentiles, the city, wilderness, perils, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, weariness, painfulness, watching, hunger, thirst, fasting, cold, nakedness, and besides that, the care of the church. This is typical for me, but look, all of that stuff on the outer man never gets to me. He says in verse 30, in fact, I will glory of the things that concern my infirmities. It just helps me keep my concentration on the inner man. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 to 11, I'll read it out of the Phillips, listen to it, because it's very vivid. We are handicapped on all sides, but never frustrated. We are puzzled, but never in despair. We are persecuted, but never do we stand alone. We may be knocked down, but we're never knocked out. Every day we experience something of the death of the Lord Jesus, so that we know also the power of the life of Jesus in these bodies of ours. And this is the reason we never collapse. He says, we may get it on the outside, but Jesus is giving it on the inside, and that's why we never collapse. And then in verse 16, he says, the outer man suffers wear and tear, but every day the inner man receives fresh strength. Are you concentrating on the inner man? Listen, you will never get your ignition on until you do. You will flounder around in impotence until you do. If you want to ever get to Ephesians 3:20, you got to get to Ephesians 3:16 first. You will never know what it means to have exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think happening in you until you've started in verse 16. Until it is a daily routine for you to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. And by that, I simply mean to obey what you know is right before God. As the Spirit of God gives the right impulse in your life, you say no to temptation, you say yes to the Spirit, you've exercised spiritual muscle, you have been renewed that day, you have been refreshed that day, and though your outer man got one day older, your inner man got one day stronger. And gradually you're growing away from the mundane, you're growing away and you're coming closer and closer to the God of your salvation, further and further away from the things in this world that don't matter and less preoccupation with them. And so as you're strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, you're ready to take the next step. And we'll see what that is next time. Let's pray. Right in just the silence of your own heart before the Lord, would you just kind of covenant two things? Number one, would you echo the prayer of Paul? And would you just covenant with the Lord that every day this week you're going to pray this prayer? That you would be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man? Pray it and then ask God to help you to pray it every day this week. God, help me to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Covenant with the Lord that you're going to spend 1 week at least concentrating on the inner man, not the outer man. Cultivating the inner man. And then would you do one other thing? Would you covenant in your heart before the Lord to pray for somebody else that you know and love that they would be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man? Would you pick out some, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your son or daughter or your mom or your dad or your best friend or somebody your heart really yearns for? Would you just covenant with the Lord that you'll pray for them every day this week that they would be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man? Sometimes you might even jot it down so you don't forget. Put it where you can see it. Father, thank you for the work that you can do and will do in us beyond our wildest imagination by your power if we're willing to be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. If we're willing first to focus on the inner man, and secondly, to walk in the Spirit, pouring the Word of God into the inner man so that the Holy Spirit can direct us into His will. Oh, Father, I pray what Paul prayed. I bow my knee before you, the Father of the whole family in heaven and earth. And because I know that within every believer you dwell, I pray according to the riches of your glory, that you would strengthen them with might by your Spirit in the inner man. We would all begin again there to get the power moving in our lives for your glory. We just pray that you'll work in our hearts for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.
That's Grace to You with John MacArthur. Today he continued his current study, Tapping into God's Power. Well, John, we're 4 days into this series, and I'm getting a lot out of it. Here's some things I've learned, that we have access to God's power, which is an inner strength. It's that inner strength that sanctifies us, and we tap into that power through Scripture and prayer. And that's encouraging because that means that God's power for my sanctification is available anytime and to anyone with a copy of the Bible. And yet, it's also true that sometimes I pray and read the Scriptures, and we don't actually feel like we're tapping into God's power. So I want to ask you, why is that the case? And why is it that sometimes we benefit from those spiritual disciplines, sometimes we don't? What is the reason for that?
Well, I think there are two things. The first one I would say is Peter says, laying aside all deceit and malice. And he goes through a list of sins as babes desire the pure milk of the word. So I think if you're going to get anything out of the Scripture, you've got to get the sin out of your life. Coming to the Scripture needs to be a holy endeavor. I mean, H-O-L-Y. So the believer needs, I think it's just a standard situation when you sit down before the Word of God, you quiet your heart before God and you say, Lord, cleanse me so that I can take your word in. If there's sin in your life, that's going to cause a barrier in the open-hearted reception of the Word of God. So I'd say, first of all, make sure your life is pure before the Lord as you approach Scripture. Secondly, you have to understand what it means by what it says. It's not just good enough to read it. Just reading, for some people, now you, Phil, and myself, I can read a passage and I can burst into praise because I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand it. But most Christian people can read passages of the Bible. They don't understand them. So it doesn't have that direct response generated in their heart of power and joy and worship and thankfulness and even sanctification, because they don't understand what it means. So to help people, that's why, well, over 20 years ago, I did the MacArthur Study Bible, because I wanted people to be able to read the Bible and then see this is what it means. Because it's only when you understand the meaning that the power is released. The power of Scripture is in the meaning of Scripture. And not just any meaning of Scripture, but the meaning of Scripture. So I just encourage people, if you do not have a MacArthur Study Bible, this is the single tool that will put you in touch with what the Bible means. Here's something, because we're at this time of year, a free offer with every MacArthur Bible, Study Bible you purchase, and that includes both the Study Bible and the Daily Bible, between now and December 22nd, we will send you a free 31-day devotional called Remember and Return. It's an extended meditation on the person of Christ for every day of a month. It's just a great little tool, spiritual tool. Also, I would mention, too, at Christmas season, if you want to really go deep and wide on this, start ordering some of the MacArthur New Testament commentaries. There are 33 volumes of commentary. One volume is an index. And start with the books of the New Testament. Maybe just start with the Gospel of John or start with the Book of Romans. Get those commentaries and go from there. Commentaries are ideal gifts for serious students of Scripture as well as study Bibles.
Right, and welcome gifts that people won't just throw away or give away. And friend, we'll include a free copy of Remember and Return with every study Bible or daily Bible that you purchase. Place your order when you contact us today. I encourage you to order the MacArthur Study Bible 20th Anniversary Edition soon in order to ensure you get it by Christmas. Just call our toll-free number, 800-55-GRACE, or go to the website, gty.org. The MacArthur Study Bible 20th Anniversary Edition is being offered at a limited-time price of $22. Shipping is still free, and again, to place your order, call us toll-free, 800-55-GRACE, or go to our website, gty.org. And thanks for remembering to let us know how grace to you has helped you better understand God's Word and apply it to your life. Email is great for that. You can reach us at letters@gty.org or drop a note in the mail addressed to Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Our email address, one more time, letters@gty.org. The regular mail address, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. And now for John MacArthur and the entire Grace to You staff, I'm Phil Johnson, encouraging you to listen again tomorrow. John's going to continue his study, Tapping into God's Power, with a look at how you can access more of God's grace and supernatural help. So be here Friday for another 30 minutes of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You.